Well, good morning, Grace Fellowship. Jesus is alive, and Jesus shall return. And I am glad you are here with us today, listening from home. We miss you. We look forward to gathering again soon. And we are thinking of each one of you and praying for you, whether you're up at Suwannee, whether you're in Monteagle, Cowan, Winchester, Deckard, wherever you're listening this morning, we love you. And we're praying for you, and I pray that this message will be a blessing to you. One quick announcement is we next week, Lord willing, on January 28th, right after worship, we will have a potluck and a member meeting. So Justin is making us a stew. Thank you, Justin. And we invite you to bring desserts, you know, breads, any kind of side item that might go with that. And we hope you can all stay. It's not just for members, but anyone, a part of the church, can come. And we're going to discuss the church budget. We're going to discuss the vision for ministry and ministry opportunities this year. So it'll be a good time to gather. And we'll also answer any questions you have about the church or what's going on moving forward. I do want to give a special shout out to Lucy because my sermon recorder was almost out of batteries. I didn't think it could make it. And so this morning I was looking for batteries and Lucy's flashlight had AAA batteries. So she exulted this morning and said, "I saved church." So I want to give a shout out to Lucy. So let me read us our passage. And then I'll open us in prayer. If you want to turn to the scripture, it is on 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll read verses 5 through 12. Lord willing, we will also spend next week in this passage. There's a lot to unpack. 2 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 12. This is God's gracious word. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good work and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God be honored at the reading of his word. Join me in prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel of your son Jesus. By his death and resurrection, Lord, we will be able to stand in your grace on the last day, the day when he returns. So, Lord, would you bless us today as we're in different places? Would you minister to us by your word? Holy Spirit, come and speak through me and use me and glorify the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to marvel at him. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From Luke 12. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Today we will continue our mini-series, Come, Lord Jesus. Last week we looked at 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, which talks about that there's a crown of righteousness for all those who have loved Christ's appearing. And so we talked about that the goal of this sermon series is that we would do just that. We would love the return of Christ. We would be eagerly longing for it. Our application from last week was that you would pray this simple prayer, not just during your devotional times, but even throughout your day, pray this prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." That prayer has such a reorienting effect on our lives. So that was last week, and this week we will continue on. And I just want to remind you that the goal of this mini-series on the return of Christ is that God would change our heart desires and help us to live more faithfully. I am more concerned with that, the desires of our hearts, desires for Christ's return, faithful living in light of Christ's return. I am much more concerned about that than I am about us getting all the details right about the timing and all the details about the return of Christ. Not to say those things are not important, but I think there are levels of importance. And I think the scriptures would lead us to say heart's desires and faithful living underneath God's truth are the most important. So that is what we're aiming at today. So we will be looking at 1 and 2 Thessalonians today. Well, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians, which, just to give a little background, this church was planted by the Apostle Paul. It's in modern-day Greece. He had to leave quickly, and you can read about this in Acts 17, because of persecution. So he wrote these letters, and he sent Timothy to go and visit them because he was concerned for the believers there. They were suffering persecution, and they had questions about the second coming of Christ. So this week, we're going to focus on marveling at the glory of Christ. And next week, Lord willing, on the same passage, we're going to look at the wrath of Jesus and at the grace of Jesus that he will reveal on that day. So by God's grace, let's move forward. So first, marveling at the glory of Christ. We are all searching for wonder, for awe. We all desire to marvel. Many times we marvel rightly at different aspects of creation, even things like the arts, great music, enjoying a great book. We long to marvel at these things. Even with sports, we marvel at athletic prowess and team domination. In creation itself, we enjoy sitting under the stars or the pure white snow of these past few days. Our hearts were made to marvel, and we were made to find happiness in something bigger than ourselves. And this marveling gets down into the very story of our Creator. It's a story of glory, of marveling at His glory. Because remember, brothers and sisters, in the beginning, even before the beginning, there was a glorious, good, and happy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He had a desire to share His own glory. So He created us in His image to display His glory. We fell from His presence, seeking our own glory and disobeying. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, and every human after them have inherited their sin nature. So we fell short of the glory of God. But one day, Jesus came, the Son of God, who is the radiance of the glory of God. He lived a life full of grace and truth. He lived a life that displayed God's glory in all things. And the ultimate display was when the Son of God laid down His life on the cross for sinners like you and me. And His glory now shines forth to all nations that He arose from the dead, and forgiveness of sins are proclaimed in His name. So for us who believe, we have seen His glory, have we not, brothers and sisters? We've been made new creations, and we are being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to another. And so I just want to say, whoever is listening to this message this morning, the story of the glory of God, the story of the entire universe, is an invitation for you to enter into that glory. So would you come even today? You enter into this story of glory by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. So come to Him today. So this story will be completed when Jesus returns. And look at verse 10 in our passage. It says that when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. So there's going to be a great marveling at the glory of Jesus on that day when he returns. All other marveling will cease. It will be the ultimate wonder, the ultimate amazement, joy and praise. It will be on that day when Jesus comes back, the consummation of glory, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And wonder of wonders, our Lord Jesus, full of glory, will stoop down to serve us even on that day. From our parable in Luke 12, says, "Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table. He will come and serve them." So let's continue to think about the glory of Jesus, that glory that we can marvel at. It says in verse 7 of our passage that he's coming with his mighty angels, that he's coming in flaming fire, that he's coming in the glory of his might, verses 7 through 9. So this glory of Jesus is going to be revealed on that day, the full glory. John Piper, a pastor, John Piper defines glory as beauty, radiance, worth, greatness. This is who Jesus is in his person. So there's a mystery of glory at Christ's coming that will be revealed on that last day. Our faith will be sight on that day. But can you see his glory now, church? Have you seen his glory? Let's take a few moments to marvel at the glory of Jesus. First, let's consider his power and his authority. Remember, our Lord Jesus commands storms. Our Lord Jesus commands demons. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Marvel at the power and authority of Jesus. At the same time, marvel at his gentleness. This same Jesus who upholds the universe by the word of his power takes up children in his arms. And he says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart," in Matthew 11, 28. Marvel at his gentleness. Marvel at his wisdom and knowledge. In this life, as you go through and you learn more things, hopefully you are learning that there's still so much more that you don't know and never will know about this life. But in Colossians 2, verse 3, it says that in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. He knows all things. There's nothing hidden from his sight. Marvel at the mercy of Jesus. Remember, our Jesus would touch the diseased, the outcast, the forgotten. I was reading this morning in Matthew chapter 8 when a leper came up to Jesus. He said, "Lord, if you desire, you can make me clean." And Jesus touched him and said, "I desire, be clean." Marvel at his mercy. Marvel at his justice. Jesus, who called out hypocrisy and oppression. In John chapter 2, he said to the money changers and those who were selling pigeons in the house of God, taking advantage of the poor, he said, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." Marvel at his justice and marvel at the steadfast love of Christ. Because of his sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one, nothing, not even ourselves and our sinfulness can separate us from the love of Christ for those who have come to him for the forgiveness of sins. And be surprised and marvel at the amazing grace of Jesus. In verse 12 of our passage, we see that he not only is glorious, but he's going to share his glory with us. Look at verse 12. Paul is praying for them, and he says in verse 12, "The name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him." So Jesus is going to be glorified in us on that last day. But it says here that we will be glorified in him. What an amazing mystery that this is. That sinners though we are, we will be glorified with Jesus as we're united to him by faith. It makes me think of my favorite book series. You know what it is if you've been with us for long. It's the Chronicles of Narnia. I feel like the four children are my friends, Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. And I love to see at the end of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they are transformed. And I do also enjoy the movies. And in this movie, you see a portrayal of the children transformed and grown up into the full glory of manhood and womanhood at the end of that movie. Peter and Edmund are become broad-shouldered, bearded, noble kings. Susan and Lucy are dignified, beautiful, wise queens. And after they have established peace in Narnia, they are now on a noble quest to hunt the white stag who grants wishes to whoever captures him. This is a picture, brothers and sisters, that on the last day we will reign with Christ, kings and queens underneath Christ. We're going to share his glory. 1 John 3 says that when we see him, we will be transformed into his likeness, for we'll see him as he is. What a marvel, sinners though we are, by grace, through faith in Christ, we are royalty, sons and daughters of God. So marvel at the glory of Jesus who does all this for us. And brothers and sisters, as we continue, we can experience his glory now. This week I was reading about Blaise Pascal, who was a prodigy from a young age. He was a French mathematician, scientist, physicist, philosopher, and many other things in the 17th century. And he had an incredible experience of Christ's glory, one which he never forgot. He wrote about it in his journal and tore it out and had it sewn into his coat pocket. It was only discovered later after his death that he kept it close to him. He would always remember one of his experiences of the glory of Christ. And this note is called the Memorial. I'll read you a part of it. It says, "The year of grace, 1654, Monday, the 23rd of November, from about 10:30 at night until 12:30, fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and of the learned. Certitude, feeling, joy, peace. God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God. Joy, tears of joy. Jesus Christ, may I never be separated from him." Brothers and sisters, have you experienced the glory of Jesus like that? If you have, don't you want more? Can you understand Moses, who's on the mountain of God, who hasn't eaten or had anything to drink in 40 days, and he's experiencing Christ's glory, and what does he say? "Show me your glory." He wants more. Brothers and sisters, this world leaves us unsatisfied, desiring for more. This world is never enough. It's like this world, our soul is like a cup with holes in it, and this world just falls through the holes, and we just need more, but it won't be enough. But Christ and his glory, it satisfies us and gives us a desire for more. It's like joy overflowing from our cup, and we call out to God, "Give us a bigger cup to enjoy your glory." So to close today, I want to give us an application for this. Let's continue to marvel at Christ's glory more and more right now, because on that day we'll see him as he is. So first, by grace, ask him to see his glory more. He says, "Ask and you will receive," in Matthew chapter 7. We ask in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Forever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him, Hebrews 11:6. We ask as we look for the glory of Christ nowhere else but in the Word of God. "If you continue in my word," Jesus says, "you are truly my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth," in John chapter 17. And lastly, we do it in community. In Acts chapter 2, after the first church was born, he said, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul." Do you see? There's awe, there's marveling as they are in community seeking the glory of Christ and living out the glory of Christ together in the local church. So brothers and sisters, the one point I'll say here on community is, if you're not a member of Grace Fellowship, would you consider joining us? If we are your church, I mean, joining us officially in membership, this passage in Acts chapter 2 is where I see the roots of our concept of membership. It's a devoted fellowship. We are devoted to the Lord, and we're devoted to each other. Read that passage, Acts 2, verse 42 and 43. Let's be devoted to the Lord. Let's be devoted to each other. Why? Because we want to experience Christ's glory together. And we will have a membership class for those who may be interested in learning more about what it means to be a member of Grace Fellowship. We'll have a class later this winter, and I will communicate that to you. So, brothers and sisters, let's be faithful servants waiting for our master to return, so that by grace we will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Let's pray. Lord, bless us this day as we're scattered. Lord, fill us with a marveling at the glory of Christ, Lord, and make us ready for his return, and help us be faithful while we wait. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.